Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Pit Mailbag here on the Post Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. He's Chris Carter. I'm Noah Hiles. Chris, good to be back with you here, chopping it up here on the Pit Mailbag again.
Absolutely. Good to have you back on the show. You had to leave me stranded last week as I was talking about which Pit football coaches would stand up for me in a fight at a bar and all sorts of other crazy talk. I did say we did get a good question about everyone always asks about the football stadium, but they said, but what if I could get you on board with putting an original hot dog stand in the new stadium? And then I was like, I don't care what, tear down the Pete, do whatever you got to do, get me that stadium just to get me them hot dogs back, man. That's all I want back in my life.
I'll weigh in on that as well. I think that would be a cool thing to do in like Victory Heights.
That'd be so cool.
With all of these local businesses closing in Oakland, you have a new facility being built. How cool would that be if your concession stands were a nod to the O or all these other places that have closed recently due to the pandemic or anything else? I think that'd be kind of cool. But that question wasn't asked to me. I thought that was a cool question as well. And boo-hoo for you. You had to host one mailbag. I've held down the fort countless times without you. So
you have not
countless times, but like five. But anyway.
A lot.
Yeah. So we're even. But we're both back now.
You're going to hold it down next week too.
So. Yeah, exactly. So we're both back now here. And we'll get to the questions. We'll start off. Graham wants to know, should Pitt fans worry about the program missing out on so many four-star recruits? And Carter, we talked about this in recent mailbags, and the trend continues. I mean, Pitt, I believe now it's like, I think it's like eight in a row, I want to say. Yeah. I could go back and count. The latest being Ryan Howerton, an offensive lineman, four-star out of Maryland. And I'll start with this, because I want to say, I retweeted his decision the other day and talked about how, you know, I just said Pitt misses out on another four-star. And there were some people underneath, you know, commenting saying, oh, you know, Pitt didn't even want that guy that bad. You know, they already have all these linemen. And that's true. They have linemen verbally committed. But if Howerton were to verbally commit, I would imagine they would be picking him ahead of some of the other guys. And that's no disrespect. That's right. Just the hierarchy of recruiting. And so I would say, is it worth worrying? No, probably not, because it's just this is – kind of shaping out to be a similar recruiting class that we've seen in recent years, which hasn't been a bad thing if you're Pitt.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say that this team can't win with a roster full of three stars, because that's what they've done the last couple of years, is win games with a roster primarily built with three-star talent. Now, I think it's frustrating because the hype that was being created in May and in June, early June, was that this might be the year where Pitt takes the next step and they're able to get whatever three-star they want and possibly a couple more four-stars than they typically get, which still could happen, but it's looking like it's not going to be as big of a thing as what it could have been. So I think that's where it's not necessarily worry, but perhaps a bit of disappointment. So nothing's really changing here, but yes, it is a big deal for Pitt to get a four-star. So when you're in the mix for this many and you miss out on just all of them in a row, that's tough, because these are guys that, and again, no disrespect to any three-star commits for Pitt or anywhere else, you earn those stars. But traditionally, the teams with the most four or five-star players tend to have the best seasons in college football. Just go look at the recruiting rankings year in and year out. And when those guys are juniors, those classes, those teams tend to win a lot of football games. So the teams with the best players typically tend to win a lot. That's not to say that Pitt can't develop the guys that they do get. They certainly can, but I would imagine if they got higher end talent out of high school and you develop them the same way you develop some of your more reclamation project type guys, you would probably be even better. So yeah, it's not something they should worry about, in my opinion. It's just, you know, not going to probably end up being the recruiting class that a lot of people did think it was going to be, which was a group that could finish in the top 15 in the country.
Now, let's also put this into perspective. One thing that we talked about even before like this recruiting period, back when they were getting their transfer portal guys, was that they were starting to get some of the guys from the Whipple. That is already a step up from what they had,
right?
Because they wouldn't land those guys in previous years. But I think people got to understand it takes a lot of steps to get to where people are dreaming of being able to land those big names over and over and over again. And I was even kind of willing to say, all right, I want to see like, will they step up? Because you know, they've had now 2 years of really good success, being in a bit more of a spotlight and bringing some success in some exciting games and some exciting environments. And I thought that was a big question, is could they start to bring in more? And they did bring in more than they normally do, but it's still, you know, it's kind of on pace with some of their just better years that they've had under Pat Narduzzi, instead of pushing the limit of what they've been able to bring in, like you said. So I'm with you. Like, it's not necessarily disappointing. It's more so kind of like a humbling, like, okay, so they're still at this level. I think it's still going to come down to, Noah, they need to get back to the ACC championship. They need to get in a major bowl game. They need to win a major bowl game and set, and like have another big year like they did with Kenny Pickett, which I know is asking a whole lot, because that was an amazing year with so many things that went right for them, and it's tough to replicate that. But if they want to take that next step, they need more years like it.
It's just maintaining the pace, in my opinion. It's getting to an ACC title game once every 3-4 years. It's playing in notable bowl games that are past, you know, the first 2 weeks of December, close to New Year's Day, if not New Year's Day. It's routinely being ranked and playing in primetime games, which this team is going to be playing in a lot of primetime games this upcoming season. And it's also having a lot of guys' names called on draft day. That helps.
That too.
That's been the case the last couple of years. But let's see what they can do now that that crop that won that ACC championship, now that most of those guys are gone, let's see what they can do with the dudes who were reserves on that team or who weren't even around for that ACC championship team. Are they going to be able to do that, or was that just one great wave of talent that happened to come to Pitt at the same time? We'll find out. And another thing is, it's continuing to develop an NIL collective. I don't have this on amazing authority, but you would have to assume that, you know, another thing that a program like Michigan, who beat out Pitt for a 4-star, or Penn State, or other programs like that, probably have over Pitt now, is they might be able to offer more through their collective to incoming guys. And again, that's not 100% official. I don't know that. I don't go to every single recruit and say, tell me what amount of money each program said they would give you if you committed. That I don't do that. No one does. But you have to imagine that that's probably something that plays a factor in at least some of these things too. It's getting better in all areas, and that's happening. It's just got to continue to happen. And Pitt will go from being one of the hats on the table that wasn't selected to one of the hats that is. So I think it's just going to take more time. Dalton wants to know, could you see Pitt landing any Northwestern players that hit the transfer portal due to the head coaching change? That's an interesting question. It's so close to camp. You really never see any head coaching changes this close to training camp, right? And Big Ten Media Day, I think, is like, or Media Week, whatever they want to call it. I'm pretty sure that's like next week for them. That's going to be a mess in general for Northwestern in the Big Ten. But when you're dealing with all of that and you're going into camp with a new coach and all that, I don't know. I'd like to think most coaches ideally want to have their roster set heading into camp. But if you're Pitt and a good receiver from Northwestern hits the transfer portal and it shows interest, yeah, I think you got to at least give them a look. It's just, I don't know if anyone really has a plan on how to recruit in the transfer portal in late July, because those situations don't really happen that often where a coach is fired and guys who were going to be starters and didn't have any intention to transfer might be considering that now because of a coaching change.
Yeah, I think part of the struggle here, like you said, is like you need to be on someone's case. Like, for example, Donovan McMillan, he said as soon as he hit the transfer portal, Corey Sanders was in his phone with text messages. You need to be on those guys. And you're right. I'm not so sure that Pitt is going to be chasing down these type of guys, especially because they've recruited a lot to the wide receiver position. Now, they could be ready for certain guys to fall, but there's just so many players to keep track of. And then when a random coaching situation happens, it changes things up. I think Northwestern has a couple three-star receivers that are out there, a three-star quarterback who are in the portal and still haven't picked a place. But, you know, at the same time, I think Pitt has a lot of their talented guys at receiver currently on the roster right now that they're waiting to see there. So, I mean, they might reach out. They might see some things there. But, you know, some of these guys are Texas and some of these guys are Cali and Florida. You know, there's going to be other guys that are jumping in there. And if they don't have that kind of inside track on them, I have a hard time seeing they're going to pull that off.
That's exactly what I wanted to add. It's if you don't already have an established relationship with some of these guys, I don't think it's really feasible to be able to go and get someone that can help you this season. You might be able to steal some of their verbal commits for 2024. Right. That might be more realistic, but unless if you – like Corey Saunders, I'm pretty sure was involved in McMillan's recruitment, or if he wasn't, someone on Pitt staff was when they were recruiting him out of where did he go to high school? Peters Township.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had someone on staff that said, "This is who this kid is. Here's his parents. Here's the whole spiel. We were this close to getting him beforehand." If you don't have anyone on your staff, if your program hasn't had a relationship with these players on Northwestern, the active players, then I don't really see how you have a chance to just slide in and build that relationship and say, "Hey, I just met you and this is crazy." No, I'm not going to finish that lyric, but in 2 weeks, come change your whole life, move to Pittsburgh and join this team that you know nothing about. That's just got to be difficult. So
yeah,
I would say probably not, but I mean, it's hard to predict any type of thing when it's involving transfers in college football in today's day and age. So we'll move forward now. Addy wants to know which player on each side of the football has the most to prove this training camp. I really like this question.
It's a good question.
You can start, Chris.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I feel like on offense, Kanate Mumfield.
Okay.
Because when he was brought in as a transfer last year, he looked really explosive. But then it didn't click with him and Keaton Slovis. And you could give the Keaton Slovis, like, okay, that'll put like an asterisk on the year because he wasn't that good of a quarterback for Pitt last season. But if Kanate Mumfield doesn't have a good year this year, there's going to be a lot of questions. And like he was kind of foreseen as like the next 2 years were going to be his years to kind of cut loose and get open and make some big plays in the secondary. If he doesn't do that this year, I think that puts a lot of questions in doubt as far as what his place will be in this receiving core in the years moving forward. And if he wants to, you know, be a big name wide receiver, kind of like how Jordan Addison was for the Panthers, or a guy that goes in the top, you know, on the first 2 days of the draft, he needs to start stepping up this year. I think that there's a little bit of pressure on him. The guy on defense I'll go with is Deion Hayes. And not because Deion Hayes, I think, is in a bad position, but it's just like, you know, Deion Hayes has been this heralded four-star guy. I think that he's talented and he's extremely good. But I also think that he hasn't had a chance to start up until this year. So this is his one chance to go out there and show NFL scouts, I'm the all the stuff you ever read about me, all of it's real. And if he goes out and does that, maybe he makes himself a day two, day one draft pick, something like that. But if he doesn't, it's gonna cast a lot of doubt and it's gonna ruin what's a slim opportunity for him to make that happen because he really only has this season.
Yeah, and to build on the Hayes thing too, I mean, this is a program that stuck by him when some off the field stuff happened last year. And, you know, there's a lot of different stuff we've heard as to what actually went down, and he wasn't charged for much from it, as opposed to other things that have happened with other pit athletes and everything. And he was back on the field, I believe, like 2 weeks after that incident. But that was that's an off the field incident where, you know, when that stuff happens, regardless of what you actually did, what you actually didn't, we've seen that in sports plenty of times where a program could just say, not worth it. We've got other talented people at your position. I don't care what you did. You're gone. And I think that the fact that you, everything that you mentioned, Chris, and the fact that, you know, he was involved in something, it's his time to step up. And this program stuck by him, and he stuck by it with waiting his turn. It's just time for him. Another guy that I think a lot of people have been waiting to become something more than what he's been is Bengoli Kamara. This was last year was when I started covering the team. That was the guy that everyone said, oh, he's going to have the breakout season. And he was a solid player, but he didn't have a breakout season. No.
Right.
And I think that if you watch the film and you get to the back end of that season, you'll see a player that significantly improved, where in the beginning of the season, especially the first couple of games, he wasn't that great. He was actually struggled a lot, I would say, but he became a pretty solid player toward the end of the year. But this is a team, especially a defense, that's in desperate need of a superstar. And Deion Hayes is one of the candidates for that. And I think Bengoli Kamara is another guy where the coaches have been waiting for it. The fans have been waiting for it. And even the people who cover the team, we see the athleticism, we see the size, and we hear all about it. And now I think he's entering a point where he's got to make it known in camp here where, you know, this is going to be my year. There's no doubt. And then on the offensive side of the ball, my pick is going to be the most important player on the team. That's the quarterback, Phil Jurkovec. Quarterback play held this team back from probably winning a couple more football games last year. This was the guy that Pitt fans have wanted since he was 15 years old. And they finally have him. And it's his third team in 5 years. It's his final year at the collegiate level. There's a lot to gain if you're Phil Jurkovec from a great season. There's also a lot to lose. And if this doesn't go well for Pitt, you look at it, that's back-to-back years you've gone to the transfer portal and you got a quarterback from another Power 5 school that didn't work out. And that's a lot of pressure. And on the flip side, if it does work out, it shows that, you know, the Slovis thing was an anomaly and they do know how to evaluate quarterback talent for Cignetti's offense. So I think there's a lot of pressure here. Every player that I've talked to raves about Phil's leadership. They're very confident. It seems like the offense is going to have a lot more confidence in itself as a team this year. But that's easy to say in spring ball. Let's see how it goes in camp when it's really challenging and the games aren't too far away and it starts to get real. Let's see how QB1 looks. I think that he just has a lot to prove because, again, there's so much riding on the season for him and there's so much riding on the season for Pitt because of him. So those are my two guys that I'm looking at. We'll move on now. Liz wants to know, which Pitt fall sport will have the most success in 2023? I love this question. Volleyball, I'm assuming women's volleyball. I don't think men's volleyball is a fall sport.
No, they don't.
Women's volleyball, men's soccer, or the field? That's a great question. I'm going to take the answer that I think is probably a cop-out, but I think it's the truth. I'm going women's volleyball. I think they can win a national championship this year. They lost some senior talent. But they're pretty active in the portal. They have their best player coming back. I'm pretty optimistic about them having the chance to get to at least the Final Four again. And, you know, I think Pitt football will be decent. I don't think they'll be in the college football playoff this year. Men's soccer, probably a decent shot to get there. But I just think volleyball – I think Pitt women's volleyball is going to be the next team at Pitt to win a national championship. I don't know if that's going to be this fall or next fall or 5-10 years down the line, whenever, but I just think that's the program that's the most elite right now on the campus. So I'm going to roll with them.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Pitt volleyball, they did lose Courtney Bozzario, and she was huge. She was their top scorer. She killed a lot of points, but They got a lot of people who were essential to last year's run. Lexus Akeos is back. She's in her last year. Valeria Vasquez Gomez is back. She's a redshirt senior. You still got Kat Flood. You still got Juliana Dalton, who was hurt up until some of their last games they had last year. Rachel Fairbanks, who really came on strong last year. And they got back Chiamaka Nwokolo, who was thought to maybe be lost, but she's back as a grad student for another year. They've got depth. They've got experience. They still got head coach Dan Fisher. They've got a lot of talent, and I think that they're going to be doing just fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you name the two, Valeria and Che is that they call it. I mean, those are two key players. Like I said, they lost a couple of players, but I know, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend I put as much effort into covering the volleyball team as I do for football and basketball. Because that's just how my job is designed.
But you
monitor it, and yeah, they've been pretty active. Any team with Rachel Fairbanks on it is one worth betting on, in my opinion. She's probably the best pit athlete that we covered this past year.
She came on really strong going into the later part of the season. And if she picks up where she left off, look out. They're going to have a lot of talent to take on some of those top teams yet again in the country.
Last question. We're back on the football train here, and it comes from Drew. Will it be a problem if Pitt doesn't get a verbal commitment from a quarterback before camp starts? Carter.
I don't know if it's a problem this year. They have Phil. They have Christian Veyer, and they got Ty Diefenbach as a young commit to like have in the system. I do think next year will be that year because Veyer's I think he's the guy that's going to take over, you know, right after Phil. And there's a lot of confidence in Veyer for what he's been able to show. But I do think they need a young guy in the system who's going to start to develop at least by next year. And maybe Diefenbach can be that guy. But I think that they want to get another young arm in there to compete with Diefenbach. So they at least have some push back and forth there and some competition behind the guys who are kind of set to start the next 2 years for the Panthers.
I just feel personally that this recruiting class is very heavy in areas that Pitt's already good at. There's a lot of offensive linemen. There's a lot of defensive linemen. There's a lot of players in the secondary. There's a lot of defensive players and offensive linemen, honestly, altogether. And, you know, there's the best player in the class might be a receiver. But aside from that, you just look, there's a running back here and there. But the splash guys seem to be in areas where they've traditionally recruited well. And quarterback, I think it would be nice if the coaching staff knew, well, if they could get Trevor Jackson or Julian Duggar or whoever, maybe someone that we don't even know has an offer yet. Just knowing it's like, all right, we got our quarterback for the class of 2024. We have one less thing to worry about as we're starting camp. Cause I know that recruiting during the season is nothing new, but being able to at least get a verbal from a key position in your recruiting class during the summer is huge. And coaches might say different, but just think of it as a task list. If you check off an important task before you go into a busy time of your life, that feels good, doesn't it? Yeah. I would have to imagine that would be the same thing recruiting. They're still in the mix for a couple quarterbacks. Just getting one of them. Maybe it's not even the first guy on their list, but knowing it's like, hey, at least we will have quarterback depth. Barring a decommitment, you know, being able to build that, they don't want to have to scramble and try to find another quarterback like they did right before signing day last year. I just don't see that being something that the coaching staff says, yeah, that won't be a problem. I'm sure they would rather just get that handled now. So that would be my answer to that question. Carter, that's all we got. Any final thoughts?
Just that we're getting closer to football season, just a few weeks away here from Pitt's camp open. Pitt's camp opening up. Actually, I think 2 weeks. Am I jumping the gun there? Yeah. I think we're 2 weeks away. So it's kind of crazy to think that we are already back to this point in of the season, but shows you how quick the year goes. And I'm excited to get back out there. I'm going to enjoy these next couple weeks before we do, because I do enjoy some nice peace and quiet, but I'm also excited to get back out there and see what this team has to offer.
Absolutely. Same here. Next week for the mailbag, I will be probably recording it live from Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC kickoff, where I will be all week covering all things Pitt down there. Got a lot of fun stories planned, a lot of fun questions to ask everybody in attendance. So if you're going to submit questions for next week's mailbag, Maybe make them ACC related, ACC football related, so I could poke around, get some info for you guys for that mailbag. Until then, hit that subscribe all button if you haven't already, and keep tuning in to the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network for all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you liked the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed it on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. For 6 months of digital access to post-gazette.com for just $6, click the link down in the description.